The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, a warning that our opening item today is not suitable for little ears and will contain mention of sexual assault and rape. In the spring, the man known as the Tinder Rapist will be free to leave the Midlands prison in County Laois. Patrick Nevin, previously of Meadowlands Court, Mountown Road, Dunleary and Dundalk, County Louth, but as of now of no fixed abode, has been in custody since 2014. Stephen Breen is crime editor of the Irish Sun and he joins us now. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Can you tell us, first of all, Patrick Nevin, what was he convicted of?
Well, Patrick Nevin was convicted in July 2018 of the sexual assault of two women and the rape of another woman. And these incidents happened over an 11-day period in 2014 where he targeted two women in County Meath. That was on July 12th and July 2016. And then on July 23rd, he targeted another woman as a Brazilian student who was in Ireland to learn English, and he targeted her in UCD Dublin after meeting her on the dating app Tinder.
And that's why he's been given the title, the Tinder Rapist.
Yeah, he was given that title at the time, Pat. That's because that was his modus operandi, where he used the dating app Tinder to target women, where he would go on this site and look for different women. And he did engage in numerous conversations with many women. But, you know, he was convicted then of attacking the three women who he did get to meet. And I recall speaking to one of his victims at the time in 2018, and that they told how he was very engaging, you know, very forthcoming and very nice on Tinder. But she was alarmed when she did get to meet him in Dublin City Centre, but he turned up in his car, and that's when the alarm bell started ringing to her, and he told her that he was only going for a short distance to a coffee shop, but then he took her out to UCD, and that's where he sexually assaulted her.
Now, he was sentenced in 2018 for offences committed in 2014. What sentences did he get?
So he's been in custody since his arrest in September 2014, and that was for the rape and the two sexual assaults. But in 2018, then, he received a 12-year sentence for the rape and sexual assault of the two women in County Meath, and then he received a separate sentence of 5.5 years for the sexual assault of the student in UCD. But all of those sentences were to run concurrently, so because of the time he has been in prison since his arrest, he didn't get bail at the time. He has been in prison for almost 12 years now.
So he will be released based on time served, being in custody from 2014, although only sentenced in 2018. What are the concerns?
Well, the concerns are, when I spoke to the victim of the assault in UCD, and at the time when I spoke to her, you know, she was relieved and thankful that two other women had come forward and made statements against him. But now she has been informed that he is being released over the coming months. She's quite concerned that because he had a background in IT, he might be able to track her down, or she's living outside Ireland at the moment. But she's also concerned that when he does get released, and obviously he has to provide an address to Gardaí when he is being released, where he's going to be residing. He will be under strict conditions from the parole board, but he hasn't done that yet. So her concerns are also that when he does get released, he will be a free man and he will be able to go on these dating apps again. And she wants women to know what he looks like. And also, women should be aware as well that because of his background, that she has concerns that he may target other women. So she's doing it out of fear for herself, that she's coming forward once again, but also that she realises that people do need to realise this individual's background.
Now, in the article in today's Irish Sun, you referred to Larry Murphy, also a known sexual offender, who changed his name by deed poll. There are concerns that the same might happen with Patrick Nevin.
That's the same. So there's no legal impediment to him changing his name. Larry Murphy did it. He moved when he was released from prison in 2010. He moved to the UK. He set up a new life for himself in London. He's been working away there under a different name. And so that is the concern that the victim had in this case as well, that he could move to the UK or even indeed across Europe, get a new name through deed poll. And therefore, anyone who would perhaps maybe engage with him wouldn't be aware of his violent background. So that's the concern, obviously, that you know he has this capability to do that and could just you know be released back into society, although he would have to deal with the Gardaí in terms of the conditions of his release and will be on the sex offenders register. There's still the possibility that he could move to the UK, change his name and just live in the shadows.
Now, the question of such a long time in prison from 2014 and whether or not rehabilitation might have taken place and that he could emerge and get a second chance at doing everything right.
Yeah, but that's the hope as well. I did speak to the former superintendent who was in charge of this investigation at the time, and his hope was that during his time in prison he has availed of numerous courses that are available to sex offenders. He has now, you know, done his time in prison, and when he is released then, the hope is that he has learned from his lessons. You know, he was deprived of his freedom because of the horrific acts that he committed, and the hope now that he is rehabilitated and would no longer pose a threat to women in our society.
Now, you've reproduced a couple of pictures of him so that people might identify him. One from the Tinder app, the picture he used there, and then another one pictured when he was making a court appearance. All of them years ago, so how changed might he be?
Well, that's true. Pat, he may have grown a beard, you know, he may have completely shaved his head. You know, we don't know what he looks like now. That's the problem, you know. So we won't know until he is released in the hope that, you know, the media can maybe, you know, get a photograph of him. But that's what the concern that the victim had as well. He has been in prison for a very long time. People do have the ability to change their appearance, and even when he gets out of prison, he could change his appearance. So he could get hair extensions, or he could get a wig, or you know, get a hair transplant. Anything, you know, to change his appearance, just to show that he doesn't have the same look that he did in 2014. So that's a real concern that the victim has, and hopefully, then you know, when he is released, you know, people will know what he looks like in 2026.
Now, the normal precautions for people who are released, they sign on with the Gardaí, they have to indicate where they intend to live. He will be of no fixed abode at this stage. Who knows where he'll go immediately on release. But the whole idea of prison, not really as a punishment, but as a way for someone to rehabilitate themselves, and then having made maybe all the efforts that they can, they find themselves splashed on the front pages of the newspapers, and their second chance evaporates. What do you say to that kind of argument?
Yeah, well, on this occasion, I think there's a public interest here. I think that the victim's rights are paramount on this occasion, where you do have someone with a very notorious background, someone who has committed very serious offences against women. And the argument would be that, you know, when he does get released from prison, there are women in our society who will be on those dating apps, and I think they have a right to know, you know, what he looks like. We also hear at the moment about Jenny's Law going before legislation where, you know, people should have a right to know if they engage in a relationship, if their person that they engage with, you know, does have a serious criminal background when it comes to violence against women. So I can see both arguments there, where he has been in prison a long time, but there's also the argument of public safety, and that's why the victim in this case has decided to speak out about it.
Now, just in bearing in mind that his name is Patrick Nevin, he has also used the Irish version of his name on occasion, and this, the people are alert for Patrick Nevin, they might not be alert for Pádraic McNeven.
Yeah, that's true. During the course of the investigation, when he sexually assaulted the lady in UCD, that the guards were frustrated because they were trying to identify this individual. They were able to identify a car on CCTV that they knew had that he had links to, but they weren't able to find his location because he was working in Dublin City Centre, but he was using the Irish version of his name. So that's another thing that he could do as well, and people have to be mindful of, and that it is an option that's available to him and something that he might well do, and certainly something that he's done in the past.
So finally, Stephen, when is he due to get out of jail?
He should be released in April, so it's not too far away, and that's the official release date that the victim has been made aware of. So it's what, 3 months away, and that's when he does get released. Obviously, within the first week, he'll have to notify Gardaí of his whereabouts. And even if he does move to the UK, you know, he'll also have to notify the authorities there. So he will be under very stringent conditions. And the date that has been set aside will be April, and that's what the victim has been told.
Very serious conditions laid down, which will apply both in the UK and here. But who's checking? That's the question.
Well, there'll be constant constant monitoring from him, like many sex offenders who are released. You know, the Gardaí would often, you know, call the people's homes to make sure they're there. They have to provide a telephone number as well that he has. He's available to speak to the Gardaí. So, you know, we've seen in the past where individuals who have been convicted of very serious sexual offences, when they have been released, they haven't complied with the conditions of their release, and the guards have followed that up and subsequently charged them, you know, with breaching the conditions of their release. So that'll be something that the guards will have to keep on top on.
Stephen Breen, crime editor with the Irish Sun, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And if you've been affected by anything raised in that item, help is available. You can contact the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre on 1-800-77-8888.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.